Praise the Lord, this is Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible. This is the book of Deuteronomy, and we're on chapter 10, of which there are 22 verses. And I just want to ask a question. How did Jesus glorify God? Anybody here know? Is Lydia here?
Yes.
Lydia, get that chapter 17. And we're going to let Jesus tell you how he glorified God. Amen? You don't know?
No.
Okay. What verse is this? One, two?
One. Mm-hmm.
And then what is three? And then four. You want to read verse four? Okay, go ahead. Here's Jesus talking.
I brought glory to you here
on earth. I brought glory to you, what?
Here on earth, by doing everything you told me to do.
That's how you bring glory to God. Amen?
Amen.
By doing everything you told me to do. Now, Moses here in this chapter is doing everything the Lord told him to do also. Amen? So, Moses glorified God except at the end, but Jesus did everything. Amen?
Amen.
Moses spoke unadvisedly. And there's all kinds of people. You know, sometimes the Lord will tell you to do something, and you don't want to do it because you figure people are going to judge you that maybe the Lord didn't tell you to do that, because that's absolutely against the scriptures and everything. But you still have to do everything the Lord says. Amen?
Amen.
Now, if the Lord told you in Israel to take a whip and start beating people out of the church, would you do it? You'd have to be sure it was the Lord telling you that, wouldn't you?
Yes.
And even at that, would you? I mean, could you? Would you? It's doubtful. You know, there's certain things that the Lord has told people to do in the Bible that just people wouldn't do. And when Lazarus was dying, and in fact did die, the Lord told him, don't go right away, just stay here. And so he did, and Lazarus died. And the disciples thought he was absolutely wrong. Could you stand up to your peers and do everything that God told you to do? Because you know you're going to be judged by them. So, read it again.
I brought glory to you here on earth by doing everything you told me to do.
I mean, he said everything you told me to do. Amen?
Amen.
He told me to go to the death of the cross. Let him butcher you. Let him beat you up. It says in the Bible that they used their fists on him. They used scourges on him that had lead tips on them. And the Lord told him to do that and to die. Would you die if the Lord asked you to? These are questions you have to see. If we want to be like Jesus, then we have to do everything if we want to glorify God. Now, people that just do their what they want to do, like you've got people in the church that do outlandish things that you know that are not of the Lord, these children. And they use even some very terrible language. And one of the girls in the church does that. And she just boasts that she's not saved, she's not about saved, and so on and so forth. Well, then she shouldn't be in this church, because this church is for saved people. And she's just the same as saying that I'm not going to do everything, not only everything, but anything God tells me to do. And so what do we do with somebody like that? Hopefully when she hears this message that we're bringing here very early in the morning. It's around 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning here, right?
Right.
She's going to listen to it, and maybe she acts as though she's proud that she's not saved. I at one time had to put her whole family out of the church because of her. And she gets indignant when it's said that there's something going on, and of course she has done these things before. And she acts indignant, as if she hadn't done something before. And she has. And now she has to you know, get saved, or else I'm afraid we're going to have to ask the family to be removed again. Okay, so she doesn't really do anything that the Lord tells her to do, and she boasts about it. So that, I can't have somebody like that in the church. She said, I'm not saved, and I don't pretend to be saved or anything like that. Well, then what are you doing here? Okay, now read verse 2 here.
For you have given him authority over everyone.
For God has given Jesus authority over everyone. Okay, then what?
In all the earth.
Okay, so he's given authority to the Lord. He's given the authority over every Jesuit. He can kill them at any time he wants. Amen?
Yeah.
They're just living on borrowed time. The Pope is living on borrowed time because even though the Pope says that he has full authority over everybody on earth, he doesn't. Jesus cannot lie. Read verse 1 and 2.
When Jesus had finished saying all these things...
And notice how Jesus prays. Do you bow your head when you pray? Do you? Well, Jesus looks up into the heaven when he prays. Okay? So you bow your head, and he raises his head up, because the devil's down below. Amen?
Amen.
But the Lord's up above, Father's up above, so he prays, he looks upward. Read it. It says so right here.
When Jesus had finished saying all these things, he looked up to heaven.
He looked up to heaven, not down into hell. Okay? Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Holy eternal God. That's why when I sing, if you watch me on television, I'm looking upward. Amen?
Amen.
I don't sing downward. Because Jesus looks up. I'm singing to the Father. All right? And we need to pray up to the Father. Amen?
Amen.
How would you like it if somebody's standing in front of you and they look downward instead of into your eyes when you're talking to them? Would you like that? Or if they turned their back on you and was talking to the wall and you're standing there wondering, what in the world are they doing? You talk to the person that you're talking to and he's up there. Amen?
Amen.
He's also inside of you if you're born again of the Spirit. But Jesus, he was begotten by the Holy Spirit, so he was born again of the Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
No, not born again, but he was born again of the Spirit. He was born in the Spirit.
So, you know, we need to look upward. Remember, I keep telling you, keep looking up. Amen?
Amen.
That's what he was traveling. I ask people to ask the Father to help me. I love that. You know, if you want to believe that God is alive and in heaven, then we look up there, Father, in the name of Jesus, and we pray there. Amen? Don't misdirect your prayer. You know, the thinking of all the heavy eyes are bowed and the eyes are closed. Amen? Just raise your hand. Just slip it up your hand. Lift your hand up if you're not sure. Be, you know, don't come up boldly before the Lord and miss what you're saying. I keep your hand up. I know and see it. So the Lord wants people on the conviction to come boldly in front of the eyes of everybody. They want to get down and unashamedly, in the eyes of people, commit your life unto the Lord. Yeah? Everything is so haywire in the Christian realm, amen? Yeah? So read anyway, read verse 9 to it.
When Jesus had finished saying all these things, he looked up to heaven and said, Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, so he can give glory back to you. For you have given him authority over everyone in all the earth. He gives eternal life to each one you have given him.
Sure. I read verse we read verse 3. We're going to read that again. I don't know if there's anybody, will it?
Yeah.
So go ahead.
And this is the way to have eternal life.
Oh, this is the way to have eternal life. How is that again?
To know you.
To know the Father, amen?
Mm-hmm.
That's how you have eternal life. It's to know him. And how do you know him? By reading his word, amen?
Yeah.
If you know his personality, you know he's just not a God of love, right? He's a God of wrath. In all of his ways of judgment, and he doesn't love people, what? Unconditionally. He loves them with conditions. With conditions. He gets their eternal life with conditions. It's all conditional, isn't it?
And this is the way to have eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, the one you sent to earth.
The Lord sends to him, the Father sends to earth, and the Father is in. He says, no, you know, that the Father is in me, that the Father sent me. The Spirit is in me. How can the Spirit send me then if I have the Spirit in me? Because the Spirit moves me to go certain places, amen? The Lord sends me. He sends me into the Bible, or certain places in the Bible, to expound upon. And the Spirit drove Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted to Satan, you know? In other words, to be tested, to see what kind of a man he was, if he's going to really stand toe-to-toe with Satan. And he did, because he's, that's the thing of the past now, with this chapter. He says, what makes me read the next verse?
I brought glory to you here on earth by doing everything you told me.
I stood toe-to-toe with the devil, amen? Mm-hmm. I didn't do anything that he told me to do, because he told me not to do anything the devil told me to do, told me to do. He rebuked the devil, okay? And so if you want to get into heaven and be a fun member of Christ's body, how could you be a member of his body if you're not doing everything that the Father says to do? And he said the Father was in him, but the words that he spoke and the deeds that he did were the Father. But he did them. Because still he was in a human body and he had to do everything that the Father said. So let's hear from Moses here. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for giving me these scriptures to expound upon this morning. And Lord, I ask that you anoint chapter 10 of Deuteronomy and teach us lessons. Let's see the testimony of Moses to see if he did everything that you told him to do until the very end where he spoke and advised us. All right, Father, in the name of Jesus, give us the power from this message. And if you always do, we're forced to stand another day saved, another day as we go move towards the end, that the end is near, very nigh. Lord, we ask it in Jesus' name, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
Chapter 10, Deuteronomy, verse 1. What giveth this title?
The New Tablets of Stone. At that time the Lord said unto me, do these two tables of stone like unto the first, and come up unto me into the mount, and make thee an ark of wood.
If the Lord commanded thee, will you do it?
Yes.
Amen. Yeah. Mm-hmm. How long would it take you to hew two tables of stone? The supposed to be craftsmen in the church. Yeah, 3, 4, 5 years. It says for me to build different buildings and do different things and paraphrase it. Do you do it right away without question? Do you obey those that have the rule over you? Or do you undermine the church and despise when you're told to do something that the Lord is telling me to tell you to do? You have to scratch that out yourself. Give them that.
Verse 2. And I will write on the table the words that were in the first table, which thou breakest, and thou shalt put them in the ark.
Okay.
Verse 3. And I made an ark of shittim wood, and hewed two tables of stone like unto the first, and went up into the mount, having the two tables in my hand.
Okay,
Translation, verse 1 through 3. The new tablets of stone. Verse 1. At that time the Lord said to me, quote, prepare the stone tablets like the first one, and make a sacred chest of wood to keep them in. Return to me on the mountain. Verse 2. And I will write on the tablets the same words that were on the ones you snatched. Then place the tablets in the sacred chest, the Ark of the Covenant. And quote. Verse 3. Quote, so I made a chest of acacia wood.
And that's what Moses said. So I did what the Lord said. He glorified God by doing everything that he said to do. Amen?
Amen.
Because that's the only way to glorify God, is to do everything that he says. And if you don't glorify him here, he's not going to glorify you by raising you from the dead. And he's going to turn you into the kingdom of heaven. glorify God or go to hell. If I glorify God means repent, glorify God, or perish, go to hell. What it means, you know? Yeah. Okay.
So I made a chest of acacia wood and cut 2 stone tablets like the first 2, and I took the tablets up the mountain. King James Version, verse 4. And he wrote on the tables, according to the first writing, the 10 commandments which the Lord spake unto you in the mount, out of the midst of the fire in the day of the assembly, and the Lord gave them unto me. Verse 5. And I turned myself and came down from the mount, and put the tables in the ark which I had made, and there they be, as the Lord commanded me. Verse 6. And the children of Israel took their journey from Beeroth of the children of Jaakan to Moserah. There Aaron died, and there he was buried. And Eleazar his son ministered in the priest's office in his stead.
And why did Aaron have to die? Because he built a molten calf. We don't need a, you know, they didn't need a high priest like that to build idols at the request of anybody.
Verse 7. From thence they journeyed unto Gudgoda, and from Gudgoda to Jotgath, a land of rivers of water. Verse 8. At that time the Lord separated the tribe of Levi to bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, to stand before the Lord to minister unto him, and to bless in his name unto this day. Verse 9. Wherefore Levi hath no part nor inheritance with his brethren. The Lord is his inheritance, according as the Lord thy God promised him. Verse 10. And I stayed in the mount according to the first time, 40 days and 40 nights. And the Lord hearkened unto me at that time also, and the Lord would not destroy me.
So he prayed that God would not kill him all at once. And he's saying that he prayed to the Lord on their behalf because the Lord wanted to destroy him all. And the Lord says, okay, and let him die a little at a time. But he said, they're not going to enter the promised land. There's one thing for sure, they're going to die out in the wilderness. That's what they wanted. Until they found out that they were going to have to go back. And then they wanted to go in, and the Lord went left.
Verse 11. And the Lord said unto me, arise, take thy journey before the people, that they may go in and possess the land which I swear unto their fathers to give unto them. Verse 12. And now, Israel, what does the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul.
Right. In other words, to glorify the Lord. That's what the Lord requires, and no one did it until Jesus came. And now that Jesus has gone into the kingdom of heaven and become the Holy Spirit, he can give us the same power to live in us so that we are able to do everything that he did. And even more, he wanted us to. But there isn't anything that we could do that is wrong because he did it all while we're here. And wants to, but he only did it in a very specific spot, a certain amount of time, 33 years, just a 3.5 year ministry, that's all. And then just around Israel. And so now, by living in other human bodies, he can be all over the world now doing his works in and through people. Alright, so we can all glorify God by doing everything that he tells us to do. And we can have eternal life because all we need to do is read the Bible so that we can know the personality of the Lord and to know what he likes and dislikes, what he hates, and what he loves, what he despises, and what he doesn't despise. And how that we can get the Holy Spirit, and how the Holy Spirit mortifies our body, our flesh, so that we can live a holy and separate life from sinners. Alright, isn't it?
Verse 15. To keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good.
Don't put it for our good, amen?
Amen. Translation verse 4 through 13. The Lord again wrote the terms of the covenant, the Ten Commandments, on them and gave them to me. They were the same words the Lord had spoken to you from the heart of the fire on the mountain as you were assembled below. Verse 5. Then I came down and placed the tablets in the Ark of the Covenant, which I had made just as the Lord commanded me. And the tablets are still there in the Ark. Verse 6. The people of Israel set out from the wells of the people of Yachan and traveled to Moserah, where Aaron died and was buried. His son Eleazar became the high priest in his place. Verse 7. Then they journeyed to Bethgoda, and from there to Jotbathah, a land with brooks of water. Verse 8. At that time, the Lord set apart the tribe of Levi to carry the ark of the Lord's covenant, to minister before the Lord, and to pronounce blessings in his name. These are still their duties. Verse 9. That is why the Levites have no share or inheritance reserved for them among the other Israelite tribes. The Lord himself is their inheritance, as the Lord your God told them. Verse 10. As I said before, I stayed on the mountain in the Lord's presence for 40 days and nights, as I had done the first time. And once again the Lord yielded to my plea and didn't destroy you. Verse 11.
That's why the fervent prayer of Elijah sent the Baal Smith saved all those millions of people. And so just one person crying out to God can change the course of the whole world, the nation and the world. If the Lord knows you're sincere, and if you please in the Lord, that means righteous. If you have done everything that the Lord wants you to do, is how you glorify God. Amen? Mm-hmm. And you have to know the Father in order to know what he likes and doesn't like, how you're going to please him if you don't. That's why the Lord tells us to study the Word. Very important, so that you can know. So you can know that you might be doing wrong, and you know all the right things to do. There's no mystery to it. It's just a bunch of lazy people that don't want to read the Bible. They don't want to find out about that, if they don't want to glorify them. They want to glorify themselves. But then what?
Verse 11. But the Lord said to me, quote, get up and lead the people into the land I swore to give their ancestors, so they may take possession of it, unquote. A call to love and obedience. Verse 12, quote, and now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? He requires you to fear him, to live according to his will, to love and worship him with all your heart and soul. Verse 13, and to obey the Lord's commands and laws that I am giving you today for your own good.
Right, like the Lord makes a supreme moral agent, but he wants to control you by the Holy Spirit. He says, okay, I'm giving you a choice. You have your free moral agent. You can choose, you know, to do your own thing or be controlled by my Holy Spirit. Unless you God doesn't control you to do anything. He won't make you want to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. But you have to choose to be controlled by the Holy Spirit in order to glorify God and to please him. So even though we're free moral agents, we have the freedom to choose if we're going to be controlled by the Lord or by Satan. If we want to do our own thing, we're being controlled by Satan. If we are controlled by them, we have to be controlled by somebody. If you're out of control, then you're being controlled by Satan. So we have to choose who we're going to be controlled by. Even though we're free moral agents, we have to choose where we are, God or Satan. So a lot of people say, well, the Lord doesn't want to control anybody. Yes, he does. He doesn't make you free moral agents, but he wants you to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. And he is the Holy Spirit. He wants you to do everything he says so that you can glorify God. He gives you the Holy Spirit so that you can, it's an easy work. Easy and light, because the Lord in you gives you that power. So don't think that you're not supposed to be controlled. You have to make yourself. You have to control and make yourself be controlled by the Holy Spirit. You have to choose to do it. You have to make it happen. Because if you don't, then of course you're just letting your mind go on, just living an aimless life of worthlessness. Okay, go ahead.
In James 3, verse 14, behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens is the Lord thy God, the earth also with all that therein is.
Well, what a statement he has anyway. He's offering all this to the Lord, but the Lord knows he owns it, It's like he's talking to, a moron. The Lord knows what he owns, amen? And then the devil says, I'll give you everything. He said, so many stupid people that have believed in themselves for years, but when Jesus came to the world in the flesh, he thought, oh boy, I've got control over flesh. This is going to be an easy job for me to get the Son of God. But when he stood toe to toe with him, that's why the Lord let him be tempted to show the world that Jesus didn't, I wasn't at all moved by Satan. So many people think Satan is strong. He is not Satan. If the Spirit of the Lord is in you, you're more than conquerors over him, your flesh, sin, Satan, the world, death, hell, and the grave. These people just want to be weak. You don't have to be weak. You must glorify the Lord. And that means you must do everything that he says. Why? Because you must enter the kingdom of heaven. You better not do anything short of entering the kingdom of heaven, because that's not going to be well for you. You're not going to like it. And then what?
Verse 15. Only the Lord had a delight in thy fathers to love them, and he chose their seed after them, even you above all people, as it is this day. Verse 16. Circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart, and be no more stiff-necked. Verse 17. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty and a terrible, which regardeth not persons nor taketh reward. Verse 18.
Now you can't find your way out of hell like the Catholics, do you? Take a reward to get you out of hell. No, the only way that you can get to the kingdom of heaven is to walk by the Lord to do everything he says. You don't know what he says for you. You don't believe in the Bible. You read it and do what it says. And then what?
Verse 18. He doth execute the judgment of the fatherless and widow, and loveth the stranger in giving him food and raiment. Verse 19. Love ye therefore the stranger, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. Verse 20. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God. Him shalt thou serve, and to him shalt thou cleave, and swear by his name. Verse 21. He is thy praise, and he is thy God, that hath done for thee these great and terrible things which thine eyes have seen. Verse 22. Thy fathers went down into Egypt with 70 persons, and now the Lord thy God hath made thee as the stars of heaven for multitude.
All right, look at some translation here. That was the last verse.
Translation verse 14 through 22. The highest heaven and the earth and everything in it all belong to the Lord your God. Verse 15. Yet the Lord chose your ancestors as the object of his love.
All right, and the Lord says that everything that he has belongs to us if we please him, if we glorify him, if we do everything that he says. He says, you're my friend. Don't say you're my friend if you don't do it because I say because you are my friend. It's conditional. If you do whatsoever I tell you. If it's a little word, it could be a great good meaning. Amen? Mm-hmm. Anyone else?
And he chose you, the descendants, above every other nation, as is evident today. Verse 16. Therefore cleanse your sinful hearts and stop being stubborn. Verse 17. The Lord your God is the God of gods and Lord of lords. He is the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality and takes no bribe. Verse 18. He gives justice to orphans and widows. He shows love to the foreigners living among you and gives them food and clothing.
But does that mean he gives justice to every orphan and widow? No, to righteous orphans and widows. He doesn't bless ungodly orphans and widows, but he gives justice, true justice. That means if they're bad, he gives them help. That's true justice,
Mm-hmm.
If they do good, he gives them the, he does good for them. Let's move ahead. and he blessed his mother. Then what?
Verse 19. You too must show love to foreigners, for you yourselves were once foreigners in the land of Egypt. Verse 20. You must fear the Lord your God and worship him and cling to him. Your oath must be in his name alone. Verse 21. He is your God, the one who is worthy of your praise, the one who has done mighty miracles that you yourselves have seen. Verse 22. When your ancestors went down into Egypt, there were only 70 of them. But now the Lord your God has made you as numerous as the stars in the sky! Exclamation mark.
Okay. How do you have eternal life?
I think everything God has.
Tell the Lord. Glory to God. Amen. And his son, Jesus Christ, who has come to this world. Amen. All right. You just know the Lord, that's all. So how do we have eternal life? Well, the Lord and his known God, the living God, and his son, who is sent to the earth. Okay, now,
Ten verse one. The first stone tablet containing the law had been completely destroyed because of the people's failure that broke the covenant, and therefore Moses broke the covenant stone. How encouraging to see that God instructed Moses to bring new ones so he could rewrite these instructions to the people. No matter how great our failures, that is, our mistakes that are not intentional, not sins, but mistakes, God still seeks to reach out to our spirit.
Right now, see, God, if he didn't redo the Ten Commandments, then we wouldn't know how to keep what to do. But we know now how to please the Lord to keep those Ten Commandments. Okay? So we're without excuse now. And some people tell you, well, you don't have to keep the Ten Commandments. Why did he go through all the trouble of writing twice then? Amen? Yeah? Mm-hmm. Why did Jesus say that? I didn't come to break those commandments, but to do away with them. So, you know, anybody that says, in the last book of the Bible, says if you break those commandments, you're going to spend eternity in the lake of fire. So, the law is for the lawless, so don't be lawless. Because if even saved people that break the law, don't get spirit turning away. Even saved angels, people that were in heaven that were they never got born again, but they were saved, they were in heaven already. And they have to go to hell. They have to spend eternity in hell on the lake of fire. There's one third of them fell away. And so how do you think you're gonna get off the hook? And Paul said the same thing. He said, if I don't preach this gospel, woe is me if I don't. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
So I'll be a castaway just like the angels in heaven were. And just like the people that were drowned by the Lord and those that are going to burn in the fire, which is soon to come. Then what?
But if we're humble, God always gives humble people a chance to grow. But remember, this is a characteristic of God that should be appreciated, not presumed upon. 10 verse 12 through 13. God's pattern for godly living begins with the proper respect and fear of him, quote, fear him, unquote, and walking in the Spirit, carrying the cross, that is, to live according to his will, or to truly fear God, to only keep his commandments and begin living his way. Obedience to him is better than sacrifice. Quote, obey the Lord's commands and laws and live, unquote. Notice that God's laws are given to us for our own good. As a result of our obedience, God knows that we have the right attitude, and then he responds favorably to us. Quote, to love and obey, end quote. Since God's pattern of living is for our best interest, we will be most wise to follow it. 10 verse 16. It is so easy for most people to become hardened against God because of circumstances that arise in their life. It's a natural thing to respond to difficulties, but we should know the Word of God so well that when difficulties come, that we should respond to His Word. stubbornness to not do that is rebellion, and this will cause a person's soul to spend eternity in the lake of fire. We are commanded to keep our hearts soft and our ears wide open to God's commandments. God wants us to communicate with Him, and He wants to communicate to us. And we will listen to Him and then follow through if we want to spend eternity in the kingdom of heaven. 10 verse 6. Here it is stated that Aaron died at Moserah. According to Numbers 20 verse 28 and 33 verse 38, he died at the top of Mount Hor. This is not a contradiction, in that Moserah was the name of the district in which Mount Hor was located. 10 verse 12 through 13, quote, "What does the Lord your God require of you?" unquote. Presents God's requirements by means of active verbs that represent interrelated attitudes: to fear, to walk, to love, to serve, and to keep. The verbs denote allegiance to God and are explained in chapter 10, verse 14, and chapter 11, verse 32. 10, verse 16. An uncircumcised heart is one that is closed to God, lacking committed allegiance to His presence or word. If they will cut away that which hinders open allegiance to God, then the heart will become pliable to the direction of God. Without a circumcising of the heart, there can be no true fear in the keeping of God's commandments and His love of God. 10 verse 17. These remarkable titles for God are the basic affirmation of monotheism. 10 verse 19. Although not formally stated
in the monotheism is like one God is, right? Is God, mono is mono.
Although not formally stated in Deuteronomy, the mandate, quote, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself," unquote, is presented in principle. 10 verse 20, quote, "To him you shall hold fast," unquote, indicates a very close and intimate relationship. The same verb is used for the relationship between a husband and a wife. 10 verse 21. The Lord Himself is to be the sole object of Israel's praise. The worship of God is a vital cause of covenant requirements. To worship mandates an inward response and an outward expression of His relationship to God.
All right, praise the Lord. That was chapter 10 of Deuteronomy. And we know what we must do to glorify God. Just do everything He says. Amen. And we know that how to have eternal life is to know the Father and the Son. Mm-hmm. And all the other lessons, there's many lessons here in this chapter. We have to remember. Remember the Lord. Remember His commandments. Remember to do them. So we have to take time to do that in the world where we're being bombarded by every thought. And on top of that, evil thoughts. So we have to, we know that the playground or the target for Satan is our mind. And He wants to keep us so busy. That's why the Lord says to pray always and to keep our minds still upon Him so that we can stand another day when the day comes. And there's no point thinking about tomorrow until tomorrow comes. Sufficient is the evil of today. So thank God we have. Pray that everyone has a victory today, and now it's another day. It's about 5:55 somewhere, you know? Okay, so now we've got another day to fight. A good fight of faith, which is getting cool. So, God bless you, and we wish that you'd be glorifying Him, and praise the Lord. Amen.